December 3rd, 2017, it's the Watt Pedro Show. Thank you. Hey, Brother Matt.
Yeah, good morning.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Last week you had some switch with your...
Oh, dental crap.
Oh, dental.
Hip, hip got the thumbs up. It's coming along cool. Three months in now.
Fucking Sue, the stick.
I've been getting distance from the stick. I just use it in crowds if I need to whack someone.
Yeah,
but I'm hobbling pretty good.
Great, that's good to hear, brother. First show in January.
Yeah,
no, December.
December.
I'm already skipping. Already putting the 17 in the sack.
It's almost birthday time.
Oh, yeah, that's coming up for me. We started the show off with Spiritual John Coltrane by Village Vanguard 61. Had a special guest there on bass clarinet, Eric Dolphy. I read about Eric Dolphy downtown L.A. This is when the L.A. City Schools had music programs, and he came up through there. And his daddy built him a practice pad in the backyard.
Wow.
Yeah. Talk about
that's some support.
And then after that, we had something from the Minutemen in 1983. I think it was called Studio Z. It was up in KPFK studio. Mm. Minutemen was doing a live thing for Richard Meltzer's show. I think it was called Hep Cats from Hell. But I think it might have been that lady. Who was that lady?
Oh.
Andrea.
Yeah. I remember having that tape.
It might have been her. This is a Minutemen doing a freeform jam called Joy Jam. And our special guest, not on bass clarinet, but just regular liquid stick, is Fosky.
Welcome.
All the way from Sheboygan.
Hey, I wish I was still doing the licorice stick. Yeah. I haven't touched those things in way too long.
Do you remember that gig, though?
Oh, yeah.
Because you actually preface, you bring on the piece. Because we start jamming, and I think D. Boone, like, even dedicated to Richard Meltzer. Mm. Because it used to be a show. Maybe it was a turmoil transition.
Yeah, I hear that a whole lot of saliva came out of my horn that.
Would you preface, as D. Boone starts getting in, Georgie and myself, it's all because you deserve it.
Who, me?
That's what you tell the gig-goers, the listeners.
Oh.
This is all because you deserve it. Wow. So I thought that was some very wise words.
It's your gift.
Yeah, it's
your gift. And I said that.
And you can hear it at the beginning of that tune. Listen back.
Okay.
And people, you can hear it.
D.
Boone made the artwork on a grocery bag, and he spelled copies wrong. Spelled it with a Y. He said, fill out both copies. But it was on a garbage set, you know, brown sack.
Yeah, but there's no rules when it comes to writing.
No, not at all.
Really are.
Not at all. In fact, I transposed the colors to, kind of green and puce. So you could never tell it was a Catholic sack. Politics of time. And then, so, Spassky, you're in town.
Yes.
Because of this book, or books, one's a zine, one's a hardcover. You came and you got to talk with Joe Carducci and Mugger, mm-hmm. and a couple spiels. You've been doing some voiceover.
And Christy.
And Christy was there, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, up in Echo Park. When do you go back?
I'm getting on the plane Wednesday. This coming Wednesday.
Okay. So, let's go way back, though. Let's go back, maybe even before these days of picture taking. What's your first music memory?
Hmm. Well, my parents had an old, old tube radio, mono radio with the record player in the top, big wooden thing.
In the living room.
Well, this was, I forget if it was the living room or in the bedroom.
Okay.
But this was like in the 50s and, my parents liked big band jazz.
Yeah.
And so, just going to sleep, I'd always hear this great big band jazz show that would kind of put me to sleep. And it was, Glenn Miller, Count Basie, stuff like that. Just all the really, really good classics.
This is Lamar Park.
This was, actually we were living on, 29th Street, west of Crenshaw,
okay.
Like just below Adams.
Sure, sure.
That's the first place I remember living in. Apparently,
and what was the big street? It was Santa Barbara.
It was Santa Barbara Avenue.
Yeah, yes.
That's right. Because yes. There ended up being a club there called Marla's Memory Lane.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That yeah.
Raymond
yeah.
would take me to, and you know,
yeah. a lot of cool blues cats. And
yeah, yeah, yeah. Find Al Hibbler.
Yeah, had dinner and, with us.
Actually, I think Marla was the lady who was the maid lady on the Jeffersons.
Oh she yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tasca.
Oh really? Mm-hmm.
Same and down the street on Dublin, Steve Reed.
Yeah, which is where I'm staying now.
Right, on Dublin.
And doing all these voiceovers.
That's where I pick him up on for tour. That's where you're doing the voiceovers.
Yeah, yeah, in the rehearsal room that he's got.
Yeah, sure, yeah. The prac pad.
Right, yeah, yeah.
What are the voiceovers for?
I'm producing an audiobook for someone.
Cool.
And it's a big job, and, well, I did all of the narration myself. Mm. This is over like 2 years of doing this stuff. And I couldn't find, I needed other voices to do characters because it would just sound stupid if I tried to do it myself, especially when you have two main female characters, you know? So I couldn't find people in my local area. And back in June when I came out for that, the Desolation Center
sure.
show
Stuart Sweezy
I suddenly realized, well, what happened is Janice, I was complaining about it to Janice Housden, and she says, God, why don't you use your friends, go to your friends and get your stuff, and all it was the first thing that really made sense to me, and I realized that everybody who could be useful in this lived here. So I contacted people, and for once, I had people who really kind of understood what I was trying to do and were enthusiastic about being in part of the project, and one of the people, who was primarily just a Twitter friend for a long time, you know, an actress who's actually doing some stuff right now, and she said, yeah, I'll do it, and we've never talked about money or anything, and it's getting done. It's getting done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So
you gave me some of them shit, so I'm going to play some.
Yeah, there's
with him doing some shit.
Oh, cool.
What he's in this one kind of character, and when you're in another kind of character. You gave me two facets.
Wait, there's two. I'm doing it out of two characters.
Yeah. Stereo. But let's go back to this music thing. Was besides music on the radio and the pad, did anybody play?
In my family, well, we had a piano in the house. They bought a piano for my sister to take piano.
Ah, okay.
My older sister.
Did you ever play on it?
She tried to teach me how to play. Okay. You know, older sisters, they're always going to try to teach the younger ones. Yeah, if you do this, middle C. I didn't get middle C, but you know, piano. So I made some notes, but I never played.
What about in school?
There wasn't anything, no.
No music program.
No music.
Dude, you remember the first record you bought yourself?
What did I say was? It was a Washington Square.
Oh, wow.
Village Star.
Sure, yeah.
I think that's the first record.
Did you get in a drugstore like me, about 45?
I don't remember. Okay. I don't remember.
Because I try to tell people there used to be a time when there wasn't really record stores.
Well, you know, there...
Thrifty.
There were local record stores all around for a long time, so it was probably one of those little record stores. I remember that there was one up on Crenshaw.
I'm talking late 60s or early 70s.
Oh, okay.
Not really record stores yet, right? It's. I remember drug stores.
Yeah.
I get them at thrifties.
Yeah. Well, I remember actual little record stores, like about the mid-60s that... They just sold records.
Okay.
You know?
We had one in Pedro called Chuck Sound of Music. Mm. He also sold like high school band equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Record, and they gave lessons, too.
Yeah. Mm.
Like the whole one stop. We didn't really have... When the 70s came in, I remember stuff like Licorice Pizza Warehouse, but also stereo stores like Cal Stereo, Pacific Stereo, stuff that...
Oh, yes. Pacific Stereo!
But all that stuff's gone now, right? That stuff's gone.
That's ancient. It's gone.
So, okay, how'd you get on the guitar, though? Because I know you're a guitar man from way back. How'd that happen?
Let me think about that for a little bit. Well, there really wasn't... there really wasn't much happening on guitar in... guitarists didn't have much of a presence in popular music, but in 63, I guess I owe it to my mom. We had the Sears catalog. You know, I grew up always looking at the Sears.
Everybody.
Yeah.
It was in every head, right?
Yeah.
What's it called? The wish book, right?
Yeah.
Made these lists of shit.
Yeah.
You get all the box, right?
Yeah. I was
just make up lists of shit. In fact, Peter, we had a catalog store.
Really?
You could actually... Yeah, remember it was up to Grants and Bricky.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was... She was looking at a Sears catalog, sitting at the kitchen table one day, and she was looking at the music, and I don't remember if it was just before Christmas or not, but she said, she was looking at the guitars and said, how would you like to get a guitar? What do you think of a guitar? And she was looking at these page of acoustic guitars. And I just put my finger on one and says, buy me that one for Christmas.
Wow. But it was her idea.
I guess so, but it wasn't... I didn't get that guitar for Christmas, but I got a guitar for Christmas.
Okay.
It was a Silvertone.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Silvertone was what Electro made for Sears.
Yeah.
Have a little amp in the case?
No, it was an acoustic.
Oh.
It was like, I would say it was probably made by Harmony.
Oh, that's right, because they made silver tones also.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got that, and, I spent a year.
What was it? Was it like, did I get you this, you got to take lessons?
Ooh.
No?
Not at first.
Okay.
I just kind of played around with it. And, well, usually the guitar comes with this chord sheet that they show you how to play a C and an F and
who was that?
G.
The popular books, Alfred.
Well, there was
the Alfred.
I don't know. There was Mel Bay.
Mel Bay
was like the der Fuhrer.
But there was the Alfred method or some crap.
I think so, but I never.
I remember that Mel Bay. They had all those books.
I never really got into the books that much. I was just. And it took me till the next year to really make sense of the instrument. So I got it in like Christmas of 63. 64, I hardly ever touched it other than occasionally, but I was mostly listening to music on the radio. That's when like all of the, suddenly the Beatles were all over the place.
AM radio,
and early Motown stuff was just knocking it out, even Johnny Cash. So it made more sense to listen to the radio.
There was a lot of guitar coming on the radio.
But finally, the way bands changed, it was like you started noticing the instruments they played and the people who were playing them more.
Yeah.
And... I wanted to play drums.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wanted to. Well, I go to these drum stores and I get drum catalogs of Ludwig and Rogers and stuff like that. And one day I saw the Beatles on TV, and I was watching Ringo play. It was the first time I saw a kick drum being used because they had a shot of him from the back, and I said, "Wow." They actually play that thing? I thought it was just for show. So I just started getting pencils and boxes and sitting them up and saying, let me see if I can do this. And
your own drum set.
Yeah. And sit them. I mean, I take, 12-inch records, albums, and put them on, tape them to the stick and hit them like
a cymbal.
Yeah.
Yeah, some kind of tone.
Yeah. So, But at one point, me and some classmates, whatever grade we were in, I forget. I think we were like about 7th, 8th grade or something like that. We were talking about starting a band, which never really happened. But I got this cockamamie idea about renting a drum set so we could actually do a real band on one of those variety shows where people mostly just lip sync the records. I managed to talk my parents into that. So I had a rented drum set for about 2 months.
Wow.
And I learned how to play. I sat down and figured out how to play, yeah.
I bet you they love that.
Oh, wow. Mixed feelings, but the fact of the matter is I was actually able to play it.
Yeah.
And this guy that I knew, Timmy Evans, he actually played guitar and had a Harmony Electric single pickup and a Fender Vibrochamp. And we played. That was kind of like the first time I played.
We duet.
Yeah, we played whatever.
Did the band have a name?
We didn't have a name.
Okay, I want to play something here. Humors of Garlic.
Oh! That's my tune!
Dolphins, Vietnam, taking pictures at the bottom of the ocean.
face needs shaving, and I ain't behaving. My hands are tired of hurting my money, and baby, I'm worth saving. Baby, I'm falling in love with you. If you want to be mine, tell me things are going fine. Hey, baby, I'm falling in love.
and with words. June understood finally that poetry was random and that all of a king's horses and all of a king's men could storm in a light brigade and storm and storm and keep on storming, and it might all amount to much noise but very little sound. John Steinbeck proposed the automatic story in one of his novels, wherein an eye full of pages opened to let in an ear full of tales. He understood that the twists of fate made patterns that patterned out to yet more patterns. One line to another, to a Moyer, to a curving of space. This was the natural reinforcement of the infinite. Steinbeck's law, to let infinity take care of itself. The random perceptions, inflections, twitchings of ideas could neither be forced onto page, nor into the air, nor across anything resembling cyberspace. They could be wrestled with, but once they are body slammed, no poetry results, and only words have been yelled by thyroidian dwarves and fullback artistes who ache to be the village blacksmith smashing a metal dream into its hard shape. But smithies were hard to come by these days, and such Neanderthal beauty was even more difficult to approximate.
Spot from Pedro so Show. You just heard Spot doing some of this voiceover. You titled this one Chapter 8.1.
Yeah, because it's a piece from Chapter 8.
Right.
It's
actually the Chapter 8, but what's the piece called? Does it have a working title?
No.
Okay.
No, it's just the beginning of chapter 8 of a novel.
This piece. Okay. And the other one is like 9.
Yeah. They sounded good to me.
Yeah, me too. And that was Bold Omen. And especially, you know, the spoken word thing. You know, I know you recorded like Henry doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Now you're taking a hand.
Yeah.
But this is different. This is actually like audio book, a mind movie.
This is audio book that I'm approaching in a theatrical fashion.
Right, right. Have you ever heard the ZBS Media mind movies?
No.
Adventures of Jack Flanders. You should check that stuff out, CBS.org. And some of 12, 14-hour mind movies. What they do is they go to a place and record the ambient sounds, and then they put the story around it. So like Moon Over Morocco, or Rio, Tales of Rio, and you hear the sounds of where they were, and then they do this story. Actually, it's usually this guy, Jack Flanders, he knows the answer, but he's got to go through all this stuff to prove it to him, so, that he always knew what he was looking for.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a big green chair. The purple chair is kind of, right, the parallel.
Yeah.
And he got it in the mail.
This?
No, this was a green chair, and it sucks him into an alternative universe. I'll get you some of these.
Okay.
Because you might dig these things. Anyway, ahead of that was Antonio Ramirez, Marco Serrato, Barra Diaz with Revelación Nocturna, Danny Barnes on Failing. No, Falling. That's Don Trump is in I'm Failing. Spot and Albert, I guess this was a buddy of yours in Austin?
Yeah, well, he actually lives in Dallas, but yeah.
He came down to Austin? Diplodocus, yeah. Name of a dinosaur?
I'm sorry?
Diplodocus.
Diplodocus. That was a Liz Carroll tune.
Diplodocus is a dinosaur also. It's right. One of the longest, like, kind of rhinoceros kind of meal.
Okay.
A big plant eater.
Yeah.
Unit F ahead of that with Who Do You Trust? Hidden Rifles, Wasco in Cleveland. Everybody else, New York. I was on the base. Obviate effort. Obviate. You know, have to use a word like that, right? Very working class. A demo from MB Jones and Poussin, Cats with Microphones. We start off with Humors of Garlic from Spot. It sounds maybe like around this period with Andrew?
With Albert.
Albert, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but that, the one.
Actually, I could hear some bass on the one with Albert.
Oh, yeah, at the very end of that.
And here's some bass guitar.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, and that, I think, made the set it, you know.
We're at the end of the first hour. 2017, December 3rd edition, Watt Pedro Show, Holtec. Big guest, Spotsky. So hold tight for hour two. December 3rd, 2017. It's the second hour, Watt for Pedro Show. Thank you.
a baseball cap. That made a nightmare, Bob. Today was nailed to an octopus and cowboy. She said that Tilda is okay also.
What's the matter with you?
I sit on the tombstone of a Jewish woman. I see the stiff grass sprout up from the belly.
What's the matter with you?
2-point earrings dangle from the sin of the rain. In the dead still of a bitter noon, I reek of life. A 300-pound man raped my good steel poster. He also sat on my Elvis records. I don't believe in heroes, he said. A one-woman woman. Gloria to Mexico. Smelling Katrina's fingers. Remembering the smell on
Tuesday.
The one woman woman. Steve, Gloria, you said with a tinkling laugh. Here lies an emotional monster. Wearing 3 after midnight. My 30% acrylic blanket itches my right brain. Turn off the radio, sister. I close the blinds. Choking my throat, filthy brown. It's good to be home and thirsty. Quietness in my lips and hips while I slept and dreamt of flowers and war. I spilled hot candle juice between and after. Rain for the leaf and moon.
What's the matter with you? Well, I'm back in the city of fog, but the fog in my mind has cleared, and I'm feeling like I belong here in the city of fog after all. After all, I wake up in the morning. The fog in my mind has cleared, and I'm feeling like I belong here in the city of fog after all. After all, when I wake up in the morning and I sing, you don't even know I know a thing. Everything changing in the world made it so the fog in my mind has cleared.
the fountain of their cries. All a dream in their sorrow as they curl against the fire. With their hands on their hearts and the poetry of life. No star falls from heaven and another soldier
I've got my own lake. I fill it with my own water. I've got my own family now. Yeah, I got my own daughter. She shares a brother with some girl down the road. And one day you'll classify me as a frog and not a toad. Toad, toad, toad. I stubbed my toe on your wooden leg. Oh, I got the paper and I look. I see what it says. It says you were beautiful yesterday and will be beautiful tomorrow. At least that's just the projected forecast. And the castles are all in flames today. And the magic show has been rescheduled. And I feel so warm when I look up at the blimps. I feel so small when I touch you.
Watch for Pedro show started the second hour off with the only question is spot. Actually, we got a couple things from this New Alliance Records compilation, Mighty Feeble. Turns from Space with What's the Matter with You, You Crazy Nut, from the same record. City of Fog, Maya, and Revolutionary Hell Yeah. I get to play with them 2 weeks from Wednesday, Brother Matt.
Oh, cool.
I think Tom Watson wants to come out now with this, so we'll have a four-man
sweet
band. And Richard fucking Bonding wants us to conk his pad, so it's going to be a
midweek
Pedro invasion.
RSV.
Then Gareth Sager with Oblong Malfunctions, a guitar sax band from the pop group with his new solo record. Spassky with 1748.
1748.
This is from this period too, right, with Albert?
He was... I think this was called Spot. That was actually the name of the band was actually DeLorean Mechanics.
Oh wow! Okay,
yeah, but I just put Spot on it just for ease.
DeLorean Mechanics. John DeLorean was a cat who set up a
metal cars.
Thing. I think in Ireland with Chocho.
Yeah. Money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Had gold wings. Not gold wings, but some kind of weird doors.
It was an interesting car, but it was not what it was supposed to be, you know.
Okay.
Why did I call the band DeLorean Mechanics? It was not the DeLorean. It was DeLorean Mechanics because DeLorean, if you don't know, that car was a ridiculous car to work on because they had things in both the engine and the structure of the car that was either, it could be either metric or USA standard. And they mixed them all up, and you know, the mechanics, they just hated working.
No, there was a case staying too. Ford had this thing in the early 80s as they were starting to be multinational. They did that too. You had to have both sets of tools to work on a Stang too. They had metric and standard on the same vehicle because they were getting parts from maybe Spain or maybe U.S.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
I know.
Was stupid.
Yeah. Well, GM, remember a 350? You couldn't use the same fucking rod in a Buick 350 than a Chevy 350.
I know.
That was insane.
The Pontiac 350.
GMs wouldn't even share parts. The GMs did not share parts.
Well, for a while, you know, Buick, Oldsmobile, and Pontiac, they all used the same engine. You know, like that was back in the 60s. And the BOP, you know, the BOP engine. And yeah, those.
Well, the 327s, I think, were more unified, but the 350s weren't. They were because they were trying to get the competition between their design teams and shit like
they
that.
They made the smaller version, the 30. They made the 307 and the 305.
And
it was like they all had, you know, rods and pistons and everything.
They were all
it was all different.
Okay, was 1748 referred to a date?
Yeah. It was that was a tune written by I think it was Jean-François Duterte, a Frenchman, French Celtic musician. He was all about the hurdy-gurdy. He was a big hurdy-gurdy man.
Even James ended up on it.
Yeah, I know. That's so cool. And he had gone into some used instrument store one day, and he found this incredible hurdy-gurdy that was built in 1748.
Wow.
And he wanted to get it, but there was this woman in there who was buying it for, you know, something to show to people, not really to play. But he asked her, he says, but look, please, I know you're going to buy this, but would you at least let me play it for 30 minutes just so I've had the experience? And she agreed. And he played it, and then he wrote the tune about it.
Wow.
And that was, and I'm using
not a hurdy-gurdy for a hurdy-gurdy.
Yeah. Wow. And that's the melody, and I was using the Curtis Mayfield tuning about.
Wow, with all the F sharps.
The F sharp, yeah.
Black keys.
Yeah, I might have actually had the guitar in F that day, but I don't know. It was F.
But you used his interval.
But I used. Oh, that's one of the greatest. That's one of the oddest tunings I've ever.
I got to see him play right before the wreck. He was playing City Hall. Yeah. So he played Long Beach. Then he flew over to New York, and that's where the light fell on.
Yeah, God, what
terrible.
He
didn't use a pick, right?
I
think he's thumb man.
I think so. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Pictures you see him, his hand goes
open. He's a
telly
man.
And then Finland. The hollow guys. Yeah, I remember Dezo used to play Curtis live at the SST, the Buddha Records one.
Yeah,
One week tune, The Carpenter. Well, I guess it's B.J. Thomas. We've Only Just Begun or something. No, not B.J. Thomas. What's his name? Name drops keep falling on my head.
He Carpenter?
The songwriter.
Bert
Beckman. B.J. Thomas is a performer, not really a songwriter. Salty with Baby Me Walk Upright, Senor Al with Poetry of Light, Pile with Sun Poisoning, Breakfast Cowboy with My Own Lake, and finally Artist Entanglements with How Does the Blood Taste Part 2. So we're talking about Part 1 might be located on a record in his trunk. Spassky put out a compilation, we're talking like 30 years ago, and he wants to get back on this because he's got a lot of music compilations, incidental things, and then his experience in Austin. Well, let's get back. You do this with Tim. You do this two-man band. When do you get back on?
With Albert? Tim.
Yeah, but you went to high school with this guy, Timmy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Timmy Evans. Yeah, he played.
It's a little difference between Timmy and
Evans. Okay, I didn't realize you were that who you were.
It was kind of a little chasm of time.
Oh, little chasm? No. So we had played, but then there were these guys who wanted to get other guys who wanted to get involved too.
Yeah.
And there were these four guys who wanted to pretend that they were the Four Tops. Because they had the...
Four Tops, you know, are still together. And I
think... That's great.
No, I think they got the record without adding a new guy. I think ZZ Top is second. They've gone like 44, 45 years now with no other guy.
Right. But anyway, there was this other guy in my class, Joe Johnson, who also played drums. And he got involved where he would play drums with Timmy, and then I would play drums with Timmy, and that. But Joe also had.
What about the Tops guys? Did you back them up, like?
They came in and became part of our show. We'd go in and just play our instrumental thing, and then these four guys would come out
with steps.
Hey, look at us. We look cool.
Singing in steps.
And they'd do My Girl or whatever. We'd back them up. And it was. But.
What's the two drummer thing?
We didn't do it at the same time. It was just different. You know, we just trade off. I supplied the drums so that other people could do their thing.
Yeah.
Joe Johnson would do his thing with his two brothers. He had these two brothers. Younger brothers named Joe and Lewis.
Lewis, the bass?
Yes.
Jesus.
But they were both playing guitar.
He just lost him last year.
Oh, really? Oh, that's
his
sad.
Brother was so angry that, you know what his brother was angry with? He played on other people's records. He said he should have only played on Brothers Johnson records because that was the sound, the slap sound. What happened was it got spread out to all these other bands and all these other producers. He said that would have been ours. We would have been that sound.
Yeah. Well, I made a mistake. It was George Johnson. I call him Joe. I'm sorry. George and Lewis Johnson.
Right. Both guitarists.
They were both playing guitar. One of them was left-handed.
Sure.
Playing a right-handed Tysco Del Rey, and they were playing through a little silver tone, the littlest silver tone amp with the 6-inch speaker that you could plug a bunch of guitars.
Everybody's in the same amp.
Yeah, and all anyone knew how to do back then was play chords.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how the thing with the Four Tops came by, but I know it came around, but... It was me on the drums and Timmy on guitar, but I think that the other two guys... Because Joe Johnson, the drummer, he was one of the Four Tops.
Okay.
So that's why he wasn't playing drums on that. But I think... I don't remember if his brothers were with us on that or not. That's over 50 years of a memory to get the details right on.
But that's pretty amazing because I know Larry Graham gets credit for the slap, but Lewis Johnson, I mean.
Yeah.
And like I said, his brother, you shouldn't have played on other people's records. That would have been our sound. Hey, go. You know, what's sad about that, because you're talking Four Tops, because that sound is actually from the James Jamerson sound.
Right.
And Mr. Jamerson couldn't get work anymore because of the slap thing. Everything went so heavy to the slap, he had to wait till... Marvin Gaye had him play on What's Going On. Mm. He couldn't get any work. He came out here. Berry Gordy came out. So they followed, but the sounds change. That's really interesting. Okay. This is during high school, right?
This is grade
junior high school.
Grade school. What I'm talking about that. I was in the eighth grade.
Okay, so what happens by high school?
By high school, I go to high school, and by that time I had gotten an electric guitar and a really old Fender amp that I threw out. I literally one day threw it out. In high school there were other guys. I mean, there were more people who played instruments, and we would occasionally... There'd be these pep rallies in the basketball auditorium where they played basketball. The gym, yeah, the gym. That's what it was. You know, people would come in, you know, before a football game or something, and we'd be playing instruments. We had instruments, and we figured, you know, there's a few of us who could play a few songs. And then the teacher would do his big spiel. We're gonna go knock these people out of the crowd. And that's how that started. And then a few of us tried to play together and start bands. And but I got into this band with a friend of mine who didn't go to the same school. It was finally my first band. Of course, I think once again I was playing drums. And. We played some gigs, some early gigs, like around 67 parties where we got paid in soda or boxes of grape juice that was awful.
I remember that shit. Yeah, I got some in jail. There's a taste you never forget.
Plus they let us eat at the thing if they had food.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's good.
But, yeah. Nothing really significant happened, but at that point I was pretty...
Yeah, you got to start somewhere. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, getting to play with Louis Johnson.
And I didn't know about that.
No, nobody knows, though. You know? Nobody knows. Can you believe that? Amazing. There's that album cover with it, but you can see that one's left, one's right.
Yeah,
and they're back to back. Perfect, like it was organized. Brother Matt, it's time for you to bring on Spin Cycle.
Cool.
Love.
Very much, Brother Matt. What made you do what you just did to us?
Cool. Today? Well, I start off with Carlos because I just saw Carlos Guitarlos last week. He's doing cool. He was playing with Hightower up at some house party up in Highland Park. Some Hightower. Art thing.
I remember one of the characters in Light in August. William Faulkner, his name was Hightower.
I remember good old Sigmund Hightower from Pedro days.
That's right. That's right.
And then we had some Jonathan Hall in there, motorcycle, Black Madonnas.
I got to play with for Randy Stadola last week.
Oh, right, up at Nella, yeah. Yeah, we had Todd in there. And,
yeah, Randy got beat up by some idiots in town. Terrible.
Yeah.
Broke ribs and shit. And,
We had Todd Chachi and Sean in there and stuff like that.
I got a batch of tunes I'm going to do with them. The project called the Jump Started Plowhards.
Cool.
We're at the end of the, is that a name? We're at the end of the December 3rd, 2017 edition of Watt Pedro Show Hour 2. Special guest Spotsky.
Yeah.
Hold tight for Hour 3. December 3rd, 2017, it's the third hour. A lot for Pedro show.
Distortion. Overload? Well, no, it's what the hell? So what? Distortion is life.
I like you, you're so pretty. I'll even take your birds and your kitty. Put them in a cage, you gotta let them fight it out. We can jump in the bed, go under the mouth. Suck your toes, you suck mine. Ooh, yahoo, sure feels fine. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Lick my tummy. Bite your tits, cause I'm no dummy. Squirm and squirm. Jump all around. Over, under, sideways and down. Who needs dildo? Find your toys. Let's get wet, make lots of noise.
Ooh, my glue, yeah, glue needs toys.
Let's get wet, make lots of noise. Ooh, my glue, yeah, glue needs toys. Let's get wet, make lots of noise. Who needs dildo? Find your toys. Let's get wet, make lots of noise.
Take. eyes, way out, way out. You are all right. Oh, you pretty lies, lie, 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 lie. You pretty lies, I'm way out, I'm way out. You are all right, you are all right.
think I want to get married. I want a ring. And a second toe.
Watt for Pedro show start off the third hour with Spotsky doing Dildos, Bondage, and Toys as Artless Entanglements, which was kind of your alter ego for the first couple things you did for New Alliance Records.
Yeah, I didn't want to put my name out there yet. I figured, well, let's give it something else.
Yeah. Then from Body Part of Italy, we got Centauri, Speak to Your Dad, Super Freak, Pretty Lays, Spotsky with the Barrel of Knives.
Oh, yeah.
Is that from the period of 1748?
Yes. Same era, same band.
Same studio?
I'm pretty sure.
Austin,
yeah.
Right?
Spinhead.
No, not
Spinhead.
Spinhead was in the Valley here.
Yeah.
That was the 734 guys,
I'm
right?
thinking of Sweatbox.
Sweatbox.
Yeah, Sweatbox.
Okay.
That place burned and then got torn down.
Wow. But when it was happening, was it a Sweatbox?
Yeah, in the summer, yes.
Nowhere.
Yeah, they didn't really have. Yeah, you sweated your ass off, and people loved it.
Yeah, Grandpa's Ghost with Learning How to Love You, out of St. Louis, David Gerard, Keith Ritchie, then Traveled, and finally Minutemen with the Toe Jam, which has got you on vocals, I think.
Oh gosh,
Mary Cooper.
Oh,
yeah. And I think Crane is playing trumpet. You're on a penny whistle, too. I don't know. Look, you're out here besides the voiceover work and talking with Joe Mugger about the old days. You also got some books. When did you get a camera?
1969, right after I got out of high school.
Okay.
Pentax, 8-1-8.
Okay, and these books, tell people about these books. These are pictures.
Photos that I took.
You started taking.
Yeah, started taking photos 69 and developing and printing them. I figured I got to learn how to
the
do
whole enchilada.
Yeah. So, I mean, there might have only been.
But this area isn't really, let's say, 29th and Crenshaw. This is more like the Strand.
Well, no, that's where I was living at 39th and 6th Avenue and 39.
You guys moved south, okay.
Yeah, and that's where I was living at my parents' house.
Right.
And then moved out in 71, and then I was kind of like in the Los Feliz area. Then someone broke
that's
into
even
my
further.
House. Yeah, then someone broke into my apartment and stole my camera and a couple of guitars.
Oh, and I'm out of here.
Yeah. And a really, one of the
sad
best
names of the town, too.
You could ever have. Yeah, I had this really great Navy peacock from an Army Navy from a surplus store downtown, and it was like to die for. And they took that.
Oh man, I wore it out.
Yeah,
you know you can see the patch on the inside. I tell you the same. A lot of these guys when they got out, they would just sell all their shit to the surplus store.
Yeah.
So you left the Feliz.
The happy. And then, yeah.
And so the beach. I mean, how do you get to the beach?
Yeah. Well, I was living, I moved into Hollywood for a while and really trying to be in the music thing and it just wasn't working. And one day I said, fuck this. And I just had I was just about to run out of gas. I drove down to Hermosa, so I'll figure it out when I get there. Took my guitar and just.
No camera, right? It says
no camera yet.
Camera.
But, you know, I discovered the guys building Media Art Studio and got involved in
Renee?
That. Huh?
Renee?
No. It was Dave Tarling and Alan Glenn.
Okay. The Dutch dude, Renee, he's
down
the road.
Oh, Renee! Oh, that's, That came around after a few years.
Because I'm not there in the early 70s, but I don't know.
Media Art started in 74.
Okay.
They were actually in two different places, but I knew them when they had moved up into the place.
But these pictures, while that's going on, you're taking pictures of the day-to-day life, right?
Well, after a couple of years in the studio, I had started making a little money, and I went out and I bought another Pentax and started taking photos again, because they had a dark room there, because those guys, they were photographers, and that's kind of how they paid for some of their stuff. They do these this advertising, you know, do advertising.
Hence the name Media Art. I always wondered what
exactly,
that was about.
Exactly.
It wasn't just a pure recording studio.
Yeah. So I said, well, mind if I use the dark room too? He said, yeah, just use your own chemicals.
Yeah.
And I, no problem, because it was cheap back in those days. So I just, I start taking pictures, and then the whole roller skating thing I got into and started taking pictures of that. And I was doing skating, taking pictures, and recording. And, I could pull it off then. I was young, dumb, and I could stay up for hours and do whatever I wanted. So,
let's play a chokehold farewell.
A chokehold, yes.
Chickens, I pray.
Pedro Show. Last music we heard, Spot with Chokehold Farewell. And I guess that's got some incidental similarity with some other death scene shit. Maybe here. Okay, then we had Conformity Contortion with The Leopard Cannot Change Its Socks. The Fofokio Band with Poakara, which is some middle-aged Greek guy who wanted to learn bass and started playing.
Wow.
Cyprus, sorry. Huh. Cyprus.
Cool.
So you keep on going. Here's Albert Spott again with The Flow and Tide.
Yes.
From that era.
Yeah, a hornpipe.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
Hornpipe.
Yeah. You know the song Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Yeah, sure.
That's a fucking hornpipe.
Okay. Huh. That's the Great Lakes. Yes. Where you
we camped and went down to the Chippewa grounds, to the lands that they call Gitchigumi.
All right. Chippewa. Am I missing it? Raul's Ma. He's got Chippewa.
Yeah.
But Chippewa, it's not their name. Next to them lives some cats named Winnebagos. And in Winnebago language, Chippewa is dudes who drink muddy water. Yep. Thank you, Kate, my father.
Well, you know,
Get that all straight. No, we saw that at a rest stop. We had to take a piss, and Raul discovered it.
Well, that song, Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, that's a big song up in Sheboygan.
I can imagine. That was a big boat.
That country.
Yeah, November 10th, we go out onto the boardwalk and light candles. And
they found the bell.
Yeah.
She got broke by a wave. Broke her spine, she said. Her keel.
Yeah.
Found her bell, though, and the bell is like the spirit. 400-meter hurdle by Fightin'. Fluffers Union with Farm Boy. I think they're... No, they're San Antonio. Kurt Stifel and the Swing Shift. The Bottom is Black. Mailman with Government Gave Me Cancer. And finally, Spot with Real Sunset. And the real here, people, is R-E-E-L.
Yes.
So it's like at the movie.
Yeah. The tune is actually titled Sunset Real. And the way I did it, I said, let's change it around a little bit.
Oh, real, like dance.
Yes.
So it might be R-E-A-L then. I think that's a real is a dance.
Mm. Yes, it is. Yes. That's exactly
so I spelled it wrong. Thank you for helping me.
Well, so many Irish tunes are called, you know, the such and such real.
Real,
you know,
real.
Yeah.
You know, or the thing jig, you know, everything is it's identified by what it is.
Right.
Rhythmically, yeah. Mm. So.
I'm drunk.
Real.
How much whiskey you take on.
I took someone else's tune that I always really liked and did that. That's bazooka and banjo.
Right.
Yeah.
Bazooki.
Bazooki, yes!
Kind of like
speak
a
one
mandolin. Right. So if people want to find you on the net,
spotinator.com.
Okay.
I also have a Twitter thing. I hate Facebook.
Okay. Just to keep it straight. And people, you can get information in this book. It's called...
Yes. Anti-Punk Rock.
Yes.
A History.
But then the hard cover is...
Sounds of Two Eyes Opening.
Two Eyes Opening.
Which is still available from Sinecure, the publisher.
Right.
With the additional... One-sided 7-inch record.
That's right.
And some other stuff in it. You know, nice slipcase.
In fact, Spassky's music history is so rich, deep. We're going to have him aboard. He's going to get back to Sheboygan and through the magic of Skype. We'll be able to tell you what is between his Lewis Johnson period. And
yeah. But give me a
part two.
Give me a few months on that.
Yeah,
February. Yeah, when I get back, I'm going to be... deep into editing this audio
thing,
and it's going to
take we'll talk in February, Spotsky. Mm. It's been so great to have you aboard, and you get to come down to Pedro and visit me and Brother Matt like this. One last thing, because we always ask people
this. Yes, sir.
Younger people getting in this racket, what would be your advice?
Well, you know, you can not only start your own band, you can start your own zine, you can start whatever the hell you want to start, you know? Just be, you know, just don't be unkind to your friends or other people, and listen to other people, because no matter how much you know or what you've done, you can always learn something from someone who doesn't know nearly as much as you do. So it's...
Everyone's got something to teach you.
Yes, everyone.
That's great advice.
Very good.
Very good. Happy. Thanks so much for coming aboard, truly.
Right.
Yeah, great to have you.
Glad you invited me, man.
Sheboygan. Not to be confused with gelatinous.
Sheboygan is gelatinous.
I knew there was a connect. It's been the December 3rd, 2017
surfing,
edition.
Lake surfing.
And lake and surfing. Watt for Peter, so thanks so much, Brother Matt, for
certainly
your essential aid and abet. People out there, keep your powder dry.
Yeah.